This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
Into the whole show. My name is Brady Hull, and that is Michael Kirkpatrick, all the way buttoned today. All the way buttoned. I'll leave that to your imagination. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. And we're live from the Aloe Fiber Studios today. There's just a weird sound in the headset mic. Is it? Is everything good?
Those are your ears.
Do a testing. Go testing. Say testing.
Testing.
Testing. 1, 2. Oh, you got to go. All right. So we got college football playoffs starting this weekend. And just a few things that I want to get to early here. If you guys want to chime in on this, First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. If you're new to the show, we talk a lot of local sports, obviously. We talk, you know, the pro teams in Denver. We talk the college scene kind of around the area, Colorado State, Northern Colorado, Wyoming, Colorado, that kind of thing. But I like to get into the I like to really discuss the business side of sports, things you're doing to improve your sports, trying to improve your leagues. College football, the NCAA certainly is at the forefront of those conversations because it's just everywhere. It is not a clean business plan if you were following this at all. But one of the goals of this new college football playoff format, depending on who you ask, might be to grab attention with different fan bases that are never really involved in these and haven't been involved in these conversations for a while. This is a side story getting to my next story. The Tulane stuff. Tulane playing in the playoffs this weekend. I'm very excited about it. I'm excited. I'm excited just to see what happens. I'm not telling you any, you know, for entertainment purposes only, what to do with your stuff, because odds are Tulane and James Madison are going to get absolutely smoked. Tulane-Ole Miss is interesting because of all the Ole Miss stuff going on. But this is kind of cool from Ross Dillinger at Yahoo.com. Since Tulane advanced to the college football playoff, apparently merchandise has flown off the stores of local sports shops around Tulane. And there's this guy's name's Dave Carrillo. He's never seen anything quite like this, he tells Ross Dillinger. Merchandise has just flown off of his store shelves at such a rate that he's had to order thousands of additional apparel. The New Orleans sports shop this time of year normally receives orders in the single or double digits. Last weekend, he had nearly 1,000 new orders in a span of about 36 to 48 hours. That's cool.
Good problem to have.
They're going with RMFW, Roll Mother Wave. Had to edit myself there, Mike. That's fun. Like, fans can have fun with this. Like, this is a cool thing, even though they might result in blowouts, but it's just kind of a neat side story. That all being said, Mike, we're already set to change the college football playoffs. This story coming from Ross Dillinger, who, if you don't follow Ross Dillinger on Twitter or X or Facebook, whatever it is, and read Yahoo Sports, I know normally it's ESPN and CBS Sports gets a lot of the stuff, but Ross Dillinger has been all over the ever-changing college football landscapes. A memorandum signed last spring, and key word here, signed. It's already done. This was signed last spring. The conferences, also key word, plural, agreed to grant. So it's not just Notre Dame's being told by somebody higher up that, hey, you're going to be guaranteed in if you finish in the top 12, assuming it stays like this. This was on the table for all of the conferences to sign. That Notre Dame, one of them being, Notre Dame, if they finish ranked inside the top 12 of a 12-team playoff, they automatically advance into the field. What would that mean if that were this year, Mike? This would piss you off because it would mean number 12, Notre Dame, would get in over number 11, Miami. Miami would be on the outside looking in, which would be absolutely ridiculous. But they agreed to this. The other concept is going to be this, that they're going to guarantee that the Power Four conference champs get in. What that would mean, so right now, those of you that follow this, it's the top five highest ranked conference champs. That's why you have two G5 champs in, because the rule is the top five highest ranked. James Madison, Tulane, their conference in their conference championship, they were champions. They were both ranked higher than the ACC champ. That's why they're both in over Duke. Many people, without reading through this, when they first announced that the top five highest ranked champs, they assumed that meant, oh, that's going to be the Power Four champs, and then the next highest ranked, which would be a G5 champion. That's what a lot of people thought it was anyway, because they didn't take the time to read it. And I'm telling you, like, there were sports people that claimed to be sports people that thought that. That's why you got to read, Mike. It's good to read. The more you learn, the more you know. Very simple.
Book smart brain.
So the new rule is going to be basically what most people thought it was anyway, meaning that the ACC, the Big Ten, the SEC, and the Big 12 guaranteed to get their conference champs in, even if they're below a G5 school that's ranked. That's how this will go. They already signed this. So the two things you need to know. Notre Dame, why do they stand alone? Because it's Notre Dame. Notre Dame gets in if they're top 12, no matter what. And the Power Four conference champions get in no matter what, which would mean you're only going to have one between the Tulanes of the world and the James Madisons. One athletic director, anonymous, asked the question, why did we agree to give Notre Dame that? Well, they all did. Maybe it's a new AD. You should have known. The fact that, so basically, like, the non-power league ranks, they're asking why the Mountain West, American, CSU, CUSA, the MAC, Pac-12, the Sun Belt, agreed to alternate language that in future years prevents them from the possibility of receiving two automatic spots. Just the one. Unless they just so happen to get lucky enough to get ranked in that top 12. And I do mean lucky enough. A lot of things would have to fall for a G5 school to fall in the top 12. But here's why they signed it. Do you guys remember this, Mike? I don't know if you were following this. The Big Ten and the SEC basically said, sign it or we're doing our own thing. That's it. If you don't agree to this, we're going to create our own postseason system, and we'll go that. And we also want 58% majority. We want the 58% of the college football playoff revenue. The Big Ten and the SEC all said this. This is how we want it to go. Now, they obviously were working with Notre Dame on this. We want Notre Dame in top 12. And we want to make sure that the Power Four Conference champs gets in. And then we do at large. Now, I don't know what the language is. When I mean at large, it's rankings. The language would still allow for a G5 school to get in at this stage in the game. Basically saying it would be the Power Four Conference champs, then the highest ranked G5 school gets in today with 12 teams. Notre Dame gets in if they're at 12. So they already signed it. This has already been agreed to. Assuming they don't add more teams, which I do think they are going to, but assuming they don't, it's basically the same system, save for that Notre Dame and Power Four champ wrinkle. So they signed it. They inked three separate memorandums of understanding documents, one among the 11, one between 11 and ESPN, and a third separate agreement over revenue with the Pac-12's two displaced members, Washington State and Oregon State. However, none of this has covered whether or not they're going to add 14 teams or 16 teams. What will that ultimately guarantee? One college leader said the main tenets of the guarantees wouldn't change. But then there's another official that came in and suggests that Notre Dame's guarantee would in fact be impacted by any editing to the playoff if it expands beyond 14. Would that essentially do away with what they already signed and agreed upon in spring of 2025? If they add more teams, does that change everything? It is wild. Does a lot of this impact, and I'm talking James Madison, Tulane, all the other schools, all these other conferences outside of the SEC and Big Ten, if they go and show out this weekend, does that change things? Curious. Programs outside of the SEC and the Big Ten, Mike, and this includes the ACC and this includes the Big 12, are 0-4 in the new playoff structure. The non-power leagues and the ACC and Big 12 have three more chances this weekend with Miami, James Madison, and Tulane, and at least one more shot in the quarterfinals against Texas Tech, or with Texas Tech. So it's a wild situation here. It's already been agreed upon, but now we're going to come in, and if we add more teams, do they then say we're going to go with the six highest ranked champs? I don't know what their studies are going to show them, that there has been any kind of interest uptick in the fact that a James Madison and Tulane, you know, could get in this, that they get in this thing. I think for a lot of people nationwide, they're interested in this. I don't think SEC Big Ten fans like it at all. I don't think Big 12 fans like it. I think ACC fans would probably be somewhere in between. Yeah, kind of like it because we're kind of the semi-little man. You know, we've got some big-time schools, but we've got some small schools too. So we kind of like the idea that, you know, the little guy, the little engine that could still get an opportunity in this. But make no mistake about it, the college football playoffs, as we see them this weekend, will be changed yet again. Just the question now is how many teams and what will that structure look like?
And how dumb can we make it?
How confusing can we make it?
I mean, I just have a bad feeling. I feel like it's just going to get dumber and dumber, and it's going to get slimmer and slimmer, and it's going to get more Power Five. And I feel like deserving, fine, but if you're not going to allow for like a James Madison, and if James Madison powers their way into the top 12, they deserve it. But I feel like which is just going to exclude them completely.
But and again, all the conferences outside of the Big Ten have already agreed that their teams will not schedule any more than one game per season that is outside of the Power Four. And that, so when I've been harping on this for the last month, Mike, saying it's mathematically somewhat impossible for G5 schools to create these schedules to allow for them to get ranked. Boise State got lucky in a weird way. They won every game except for the Oregon game, and it just so happened Oregon was a playoff team, and that loss that was very close looked very good. You got one shot, essentially. You got one shot, and you got to win out the rest of the way. Damn near, if you're a G5, to get ranked in the top 12, which I think Boise State was. Weren't they 11 last year? But then because they gave the top five highest ranked champs, the top four at least, like the first round bye, which they changed that already. So they're getting away from that side of it. But I thought Boise State, no, maybe they did fall out of the top 12. But now with these three Power Four conferences basically saying, yeah, we're not going to schedule two games. We're not going to play a Mountain West school and a Pac-12 school. We got to pick. We'll pick one of them. So then that just became even more complicated for the G5 to schedule opponents for like Washington, for example. I don't know what their schedule was, but for CSU, they could schedule one. They would be given one, or Washington would be given one, and that would be CSU, and then whatever else. So that just becomes more complicated. And I'm not saying that a lot of G5 schools necessarily schedule two Power 4 opponents, but it's possible, and they do. And if you show out, not even win, if you show out in those games and those teams turn out to be studs, it looks really good. That was the case for Boise State. And if you get two of those on your resume, even losses, they would look good. So get ready. It's all over the place, and this is also why the idea, even from me, is asinine, that there would be a centralized figure in college football. I think there should be. I think it's impossible, because the SEC and the Big Ten and Notre Dame would never go for it. They'd never go for it, because a centralized figure would absorb the power. Basically saying, why is it the SEC and the Big Ten get all the power? Because they have the money, they have the TV, they have the viewership, they have the popularity. And if they get pissed off, they take their ball. They don't go home. They take their ball and they say, keep playing your little games over there. We're going to go do our own thing, and we'll see who shows out for us. We'll see who ESPN wants. We'll see who CBS Sports wants. We'll see who Fox Sports wants. We'll see. And yeah, they're going to choose the Big Ten and the SEC. That's how it's going to go. So that's why you can't have a centralized figure, because a centralized figure should come in and try to be Roger Goodell. Notre Dame, you should be in a conference. No, there's no guarantee that your champ is in. You have to be ranked higher. That's how we're going to do this. No, that's not how it's going to happen. And in their defense, they can say, we do have a really ridiculous schedule. So for us to lose two games and then not be ranked as high as a team that went undefeated in the Mountain West, that's bogus. They have a point there. There's got to be some middle ground here. For as long as we're going to pretend that 132, 131 college football teams exist in the same planet. And when they don't, that would mean the Big Ten and the SEC have broken away from the NCAA, and you might start seeing something like what Utah is doing with getting the outside investor to come in and basically splash more money into your program, and the program becomes kind of an offshoot. I think I heard Tanner make the comparison. The veterinarian school at CSU is part of their school, but it's also an entity that makes money. It's also a business. That's essentially what a football program would be. That's essentially what the SEC and the Big Ten would be, is an offshoot. Is part of the school, but not really. Kind of somewhere in between. The upside down for Stranger Things fans.
Let's just make it official. It's going to happen in 10 years. Let's make the Big Ten and the SEC one big league, and they can just feed into the NFL.
And then the rest, which
the rest of them can, you know, screw off. I mean, that's basically what's going to happen. Sorry to the rest of you guys, but the two real power conferences they're just going to bully everybody. And then Notre Dame's going to join, but still be in. God, this is so stupid.
But here's the other kicker, though, for you, Mike. So in the Big 12 and the SEC, or the Big 10 and the SEC, are there teams that they would like to bring along on this journey as they go into it? Yeah, there's going to be schools that they look at and say, does a Texas Tech, a BYU, should we go poach those schools, get those teams in? And then you're essentially, like I've always said, it's going to be 30 and 30. You get 30 in the Big Ten, you get 30 in the SEC, and that's essentially your AFC and the NFC. It's AFC, NFC on steroids as far as teams that are in. You're essentially doubling it up. And that's very much where we're headed at this point. But the fact that every year we are editing the playoffs, not necessarily a good sign going forward. Michael, did you get the clip I sent you, PJ Fleck, the head coach of Minnesota? How long is that? Is that like 3 minutes?
That is 2 minutes and 30 seconds.
Do we have time to play it? We got quarterback toilet bowl coming up at 11:30. Let's save that for the second hour because I want, we've said this on the show, but the way he puts it is exactly what's going on. You're asking college football teams and coaches to act as professional teams and coaches without the restraints that the NFL has, the NBA has. I mean, the NFL can sign a guy and they can sign him to a 4-year deal and they got him. I got my running back position figured out. Every year, there's no assurance that you're going to be able to keep your same unit together. So it is very, very fascinating. Faith says, as an SEC fan, I personally don't mind the variety of teams. Well, to be fair, Faith, like you're also, like me, a UNC Bears fan. So there is that. The fans that kind of root for those type of teams, and what I mean by those type of teams, UNC doesn't have the money that most of the teams in the Big Sky have. So you're rooting for the underdog. That's the underdog. There still needs to be a sense of that. And football, I guess, is just impossible. If you ask Joel Klatt, there's no such thing as underdog. Man, I hope James Madison and Tulane win. I just really hope they do.
I'm starting to want them to win because I'm kind of fed up with all this nonsense.
There we go, Mike. See?
I mean, I still want Indiana to win the whole thing.
Well, but you're starting Indiana
to... Indiana or Oregon.
You're starting to... I think, like... You just get tired of all the what are they? The multimillionaire, billionaire. These organizations are just making all these decisions for the little guys, and it's starting to sound a lot like society sometimes. So I think that's why you kind of want to root for these teams that nobody believes in to go do something cool. Because we get tired of money being thrown around, and the rich just keep getting richer. And that story we talked about yesterday with like Eric Gibson, LSU didn't get in trouble. Eric Gibson got punished, not LSU. 27 minutes after the hour. If you missed that chat yesterday, check out the whole show podcast or my discussion with Ed Lamb, UNC head football coach on Football 52. Download that. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, 1310kfk.com. It's a whole show powered by Chevron. Quarterback toilet bowl's coming up very soon. I had a big week. I'm hanging in, Mike. We'll be right back.
Talk. Listen to Coach Speak. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally. Like growing up with a bank you can count on. Like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, this is Ed Lamb, head football coach of the UNC Bears. You're listening to the whole show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour. Welcome back into the whole show powered by Chevron. Okay, we blew the clock there in that last segment. I can go off on college, the business of college football. It just happens sometimes.
That's your fault for being very passionate about sports.
You're the producer, Mike. You're supposed to keep me
under control.
Quarterback toilet bowl coming up. It's desperate time. I have to win. Have to win this weekend. Hooligans, text me. Who should I pick? The quarterback toilet bowl. I need the who do you think is going to be the worst NFL quarterback this weekend? Who's going to be the worst one? That's who I need. Hooligans, I need help. I'm using my lifeline.
Can I give you my advice?
Yeah.
Quinn Ewers.
We'll see. 33 minutes after the hour, let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, this is Warren Jackson, former CSU wide receiver, and you're listening to the whole show on KFK.
Welcome back into the whole show. It is time for the quarterback toilet bowl. We normally do this on Fridays. We have an appointment tomorrow that will take over for the show tomorrow. It's the KFK Christmas party, and this was the only time we could get people together at this point. So we're doing all of our Friday stuff here today.
And the Thursday night special.
On a Thursday. And the Thursday night special.
Our picks now on Thursday.
Picks are on Friday. Everybody knows that.
Everybody knows that.
In this case, we will make the pick later today.
You're not going to want to miss the Thursday night special.
No,
don't miss Thursday night special. He brought in the big guns for this one, Brady. We poured everything we had into this.
It's very
exciting. I'm excited about this. This will be a lot of fun. So, Mike, how are we doing on the quarterback toilet bowl?
You're not doing so well.
No.
You are in the last place still. I think this is the third week in a row.
I'm good at picking greatness. My brain can't go to bad.
Do you remember when he was leading at the beginning of the year and he was talking about how he was good at picking the bad quarterbacks?
Yeah,
and
because of all the bad quarterbacks he watches. Yeah.
I can't get into my mindset of what is bad. You know, I just can't do it. I only pay attention to greatness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead, Mike.
You're in last place at 48.53.
That's less than half.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's below average, so you're doing well there. I am in second to last at 46.17. Tanner had a big jump last week. He was at like 41 something, and now he's at 44.49.
Huge jump. Jordan Love
and
shredded the Broncos defense.
Derbs is going to have to pick like three quarterbacks in the 80s over the next 3 weeks to have a chance of being our dress-up doll guy there.
So I will try.
He's at 40.14. The picks this week, Tanner has the first pick. I have the second. You have the third. And Derbs has the fourth based on last week's results.
Yeah. Kenny Pickett. I can't believe I missed Kenny Pickett. Go ahead.
Like, I look back and I go, gosh dang, it would have been so smart for me to pick Kenny Pickett last week. And then I still had Geno Smith on the board because you guys have used him. If I would have, I was so dead set on picking Phillip Rivers coming into it, though, that, and that didn't, you know, it went okay, but not as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, this is important because the loser is getting dressed up. We get to pick the clothing from the Ark, and the loser is also buying us drinks and food at Big City Roadhouse.
Wait, we agreed on that part, too.
Wasn't that everything?
Yeah, that was in the rules I sent that you guys that you didn't read.
I didn't sign anything.
Still don't know what we're doing.
and this guy's winning.
Yeah, Derbs is winning, and we were making fun of him. We were just talking about it. Week one, he picked Jared Goff, and we were like, does he know we're picking that?
And then when he was gone, he just says, who's the quarterback for Miami?
Yeah, I'll take him. I'll take influenced.
Yeah, I was going to say he had a couple of libations rocking right about that.
I'll take that fella.
Yes, which could be a choice this week, too.
We'll have to figure out next week, I guess, how to do it, because I don't think you want to take off a week of this with being in last, so maybe we'll just do it online, or if we can.
Yeah,
find
we can
a
do
spot
it on. We need to create a graphic
Derbs
for this next year.
Graphic,
a graphic. Okay.
Here,
Derbs,
me.
Quarterback toilet
we'll
bowl.
Do it.
I was actually thinking about this last night for some
that
reason.
That would be good.
Of how we could do it. Do we put like four turds in a toilet bowl? Or
but it's just our pictures of our faces.
They just like move up and down.
Just, like,
have a perfect butt right here, and it's like whoever the
one big toilet, one sitting in there, and the other three kind of spread around.
Yep. Whoever's face is closer to the butt. The gang.
Have Micah on the side with a plunger, like. Plunger.
That actually would be pretty good. And then the loser gets plunged.
Yeah.
I think that's how we do this. So who's getting the first pick?
Tanner has the first pick today for the quarterback toilet bowl.
Oh, I thought about Quinn Ewers. I thought about, well, it sounds like Kenny Pickett's not going to go. Thought about Brady Cook, but I think I have settled on Marcus Mariota as my pick. Marcus Mariota against the Philadelphia Eagles. Mariota didn't have a bad game last week against the Giants, but he just doesn't make those incredible throws. And at this point, I'm just trying to hold you and Mike off. So I'm going to take the guy that isn't going to light the world on fire. And this will probably come back to bite me right in the rear end. But I am taking Marcus Mariota today.
I'll be rooting for him.
I think it's
yes.
Mariota.
Yeah, Marcus Mariota.
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 Yes.
Super right. Mariota.
With the second pick, which is me, I
just go.
got that. Super Mario time.
I'm going to take Geno Smith against the Texans. It's an obvious pick.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's a great pick. I think it's a great pick, Mike.
Gee, no doubt that's obvious.
Thanks, Micah.
Geno pun? Gee, no doubt.
No, okay. That is one demerit. Nah, one demerit.
Thomas.
Yeah. That's two now.
Very good.
Well, all three of my guys, thank you, 503, because those are the three guys on my board here. No, nobody's taking the three guys on my board. So the question is, do I go Ewers, do I go Rivers, do I go Minshew?
Ewers.
I want to save, if I'm in that position, I think I want to save the Minshew thing if I'm there, but I'm not sure.
Hold on, we need the music. Third pick in the quarterback toilet bowl draft. Yeah. Brady is selecting.
Always forgets mine. I'm going to go with the story I'm rooting for. I'm going to go with Philip Rivers. I'm going to take Philip Rivers.
Yeah,
against San Francisco on, was that Monday night?
Monday night.
Yeah,
that's very good.
And like I was telling Tanner, I think the main thing is if San Francisco gets up by two scores and he has to throw it down the field a little more.
Yeah,
he showed that he doesn't have the ability to throw it over 10 yards.
Gonna,
honestly,
and the way this is work, like all the checkdowns and stuff that he does, like he's not gonna get a very high QBR.
Well, I think he threw three passes over 10 yards last week, and I ended up with a 52. So.
Yeah. He could also get a touchdown, I guess.
Yeah, and
he only one interception, and, but that interception was a kind of a last ditch
effort.
Well,
and you also get with that, like I mean, there's he's 44. I mean, he could get hit wrong after one play. You know, I hope not, but he can go down with that injury, and you could be in really good shape. It could, I mean, zeros are possible in this.
It looks like he's got enough cushion now. To take a few.
He's built like we are, Mike. He's built like we are. No, Brady, you can't make fun of that. So we've had this conversation.
I'm just imagining you guys getting hit. Yeah. With me, it would be like, but I would be running fast backwards.
All right, with the fourth pick this week in the quarterback toilet bowl, Mike is not. Mike is doing things.
He's on the phone, apparently. Rock Herbs is making a trade.
They traded to me.
Oh, man. Well, I'm going to stay on brand with the theme around Northern Colorado. It is supposed to be windy.
Oh, you can't do anything in the wind.
In Seattle tonight. Oh. And you can't do anything in the wind. So Sam Darnold is going to see some of them ghosts, I think, from the past. And those ghosts are going to be flying around because it's windy. No success. Sam Darnold.
I wish everyone could see Derbs in doing his impression of windy, and he was just flapping his hands around.
Well, as it was proven yesterday, you literally can't do anything in the wind.
No.
Everything is just turned off, and there's nothing
Excel
more you can do.
Excel has decided they are playing God. You have power. You may not have power. Government's coming for you, right, Derbs?
I think they should cancel games if they're... I don't think they should allow fans to go to games. Oh, they did that yesterday in a basketball arena.
Nobody should go out.
Makes no sense.
The wind affected the...
It makes absolutely no sense at all.
But they let the families of the kids go.
Travel.
So that's fine if you guys get in trouble, but we don't want regular people getting in trouble driving in the wind.
I just don't understand.
It doesn't make any sense.
No, it makes
Did
no
they
sense.
Social distance in there, too?
Yes.
Or, wait, that was the COVID. Yeah. I forgot. I couldn't remember if it was
Could
the
have put
wind.
Extra seats in between on the bench for the players.
Yeah.
That's bolder for you. Okay, I know it's not a political
room
show.
For the wind to blow through.
Yeah. I just saw that. I'm like, wait. What?
Well, I don't understand. Like, if you want,
I thought they were going to say we're canceling the game, and I'm like, that's going to be pretty extreme. But then it was we're not allowing fans to come to the game.
Well, and last time I checked, there's not a lot of high profile vehicles driving around down in Boulder. I don't think
the highest profile vehicles were the ones that drove to Boulder to get the basketball guys' stuff there.
A lot of those Priuses aren't real tall down there in Boulder. Like, what are we doing?
I don't understand.
I guess Prime's pickup might be the tallest vehicle that they have down there in Boulder.
Prime probably got to go to the game if he wanted to.
Yeah. What is it like? Why do I just don't understand? It's wind. Like, I get it. Roads are closed, things like that. There were no roads closed.
No.
I mean, and let's say we're at higher elevation. There was like a 95 mile per hour wind gust, like 3 miles west of Boulder. But I mean, if you want to, I don't know.
How did they get home? Who? The players. What? The coach.
Was like, well, they didn't go, Brady.
Did they let Tad Boyle leave? Did they all just put sleeping bags in the middle
Slept
of the floor?
In the arena?
Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
It's too dangerous for fans, but not Tad Boyle. Get on out in the car. You get out of here.
Did Mark Johnson have to use his horse
Probably,
to get there?
Yeah.
I'm starting to think
so. I just
so.
Think it's like, we don't, fans, it's too dangerous for you, but. Yeah. Dad's been in the wind before.
Come on in. We got to get this one in.
Yeah, how many broadcasters used him? Windy in here with that shot last night? Because I 100% would have. Right between. Not
I,
the
I just loved
missed.
It. All your nerves. Like, you can't play football in the wind. And I'm like, well, they almost didn't play basketball in the wind. These fans couldn't watch.
Yeah, Tad after the game goes, yeah, it was felt more like a scrimmage in there, but we beat a really good team. I'm like, is Portland State?
They're not bad. CU struggled with Big Sky schools.
Yeah.
They struggled with Eastern Washington earlier in the year. So
I'm sure Mike will pick UNC to beat them next week.
I don't know.
Micah?
Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Picks are on Friday. Everybody knows that.
Everybody knows that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes, everybody knows that. I've been educated.
I know that.
Well done, guys. Wind. I hope all three of you guys lose.
It's windy.
If it's windy in any of the games that we pick, do we automatically...
That's why he's picking Seattle.
Cancel out.
It's windy in Seattle, and he thinks that Sam...
If they cancel it, I won.
The last time you picked somebody playing in Seattle, they put up a 90.
That's pretty good.
They might not even have this game tonight, though.
But they might not play, so I already won.
Yeah.
I got a zero.
What if they just cancel it?
Yeah, XL.
Too windy.
Yeah, too windy.
Don't want to deal with it.
Shut her
Seattle,
down.
XL's going to come get you a little. I don't know what you got up there, but XL's going to get at you.
They're coming to get you. They're coming to get
they'll
you.
They'll let some idiot at a Buffalo Bills game wear nothing to the game in the snow, but they're going to stop everybody from coming in the wind tonight.
Or they'll serve you like five beers at a Buffs game and be like, have a good night, everyone. The game's over.
You can drive home.
The second it's windy, it's like, No.
The Bengals, that was one of the second coldest game ever played in Cincinnati. They didn't even clear off the seats.
Yeah. Like they don't even care.
No. They're like, yeah, thanks for the money.
You want to make it? Come on in. You don't. See you later.
Oh, my God, that leaf is blowing a little bit. We better shut her down.
Nobody
you know
out
now,
there.
In the state of Colorado from now on, every time we see a leaf blow, it's like, oh crap.
The school shut down yesterday. These kids got wind days. I think that's got to be the first documented wind days.
And it's like finals week for school, too. And they're like,
they turned our power on. And I'm like, right when the power came on, I'm like, it's freaking windy out. They should turn the power off. It's really crazy. But nope. It's going then.
There were some schools here in Greeley. Like in Greeley, power was on the entire day. There were schools that were like, we're going to do an early release around 11:30 tomorrow just in case
they
do it.
Just in case it gets windy outside.
We had three. I'm definitely that guy now. We had 3 feet of snow there. It's just ridiculous.
All right, fellas. Appreciate you. We'll see you tomorrow at the KFKA Christmas party.
Yay.
Mike, Leather and Lace, you and me, karaoke.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's great. It's going to be a KFK wine mixer. Kind of like the Catalina one. Only this will be better.
But much better.
We'll be right back.
The Hall of Fame Preps Talk. Listen to Coach speak. Weekdays at 10 at Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, Ram fans, this is Ali Farokmanesh, your head men's basketball coach at Colorado State University. And you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into The Whole Show. And look, I know, strong winds can create havoc and accidents on the road and stuff. I'm not trying to make light of that or anything, Michael. It's just, it's sometimes like, hey, you know the best way to avoid a skiing injury? Don't ski. Like, I thought the Buffs thing was weird yesterday. Like, the winds are crazy here at CU. We're going to be here and play, and the family members of these players are going to be here, but you can't get on the road and come to the game.
Yeah,
We're picking and choosing who can go to the game. That reminds me of about 5 years ago.
Yeah, the whole XL thing, I understand why they did it. It's just the execution of it
was very strange.
It's so ridiculous.
We didn't have really any wind at our place. We live in Fort Collins. We're on the east side of town, but we didn't really have any wind. My wife was there all day, and she's like, we didn't have much. It was kind of windy when I got home yesterday. It didn't get like roaring until like midnight. Well, then they turned the power on.
Same here.
So I was like, wait, turn the power off. No wind. Now it's really windy. Power on. Brain no make sense of it. Second hour coming up next. Kevin Lytle from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And it's the whole show. We'll be right back.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.